Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Out front next, the Putin and Trump show. Vladimir Putin winning a sham election and echoing Trump in his victory lap. One of Putin's former officials who has now turned on him is out front with details on what Putin is really after when it comes to Donald Trump. And Trump has 1 week to come up with nearly $500 million. Tonight, his lawyers say he does not have the money. We'll do the math on what properties he might have to sell and how fast. Plus, Princess Kate's reported visit to a farm now raising more questions than answers. Let's go out front. And good evening, I'm Erin Burnett. Out front tonight, Trump wins in Russia. Putin today celebrating his own win of an unprecedented fifth term. By the end of this term, Putin will have ruled Russia longer than even Joseph Stalin. Just think about that, longer than Stalin. And as Putin claimed his victory today, he had a message for the United States about Donald Trump.
Can you consider it democratic to use the administrative resources in order to attack one of the presidential candidates in the U.S., using at the same time the judicial system?
Putin really word for word echoing Trump's words, returning the favor of the myriad of compliments that Trump has said about Putin over the years, like these.
He's taken over a country for $2 worth of sanctions. I'd say that's pretty smart.
Here's a guy who's very savvy. I know him very well. Very, very well. Putin respected me.
Well, Putin does not respect the United States or the very basic freedoms that it stands for. That was made clear tonight by Russian state media, which claims that Putin's entire election win is actually a victory over the West.
The people showed that the attempts of Kyiv and the West to frighten us with terrorist attacks will not work, and the results of the election will allow Russia to accomplish all its set goals.
Now, Putin won with 87.28% of the vote. Of course, there was no democracy or freedom of voting. I mean, just here's an example. Ukrainians in regions occupied by Russia, they actually were forced to vote for Putin. There were armed men in the streets as people vote, like in this picture, which was posted by a Ukrainian official. And these are images that, of course, are jarring to Americans, but not to the leaders of the countries that Trump has publicly praised.
Putin, very smart. President Xi is a brilliant man. How smart is Kim Jong-un?
And maybe it's not what he says. It's that he's choosing to say those things in public and in such an adulatory fashion. North Korea's Kim Jong-un, who was mentioned there, was last elected with 100% of his country's vote. They don't even allow the 87.28% business. And he just received a luxury limousine from Putin. He said, according to his state-controlled media, that the Russian vote is a, quote, sign of the Russian people's firm support for Putin. And China's President Xi Jinping, who was unanimously elected to his third term as president, again, no 87.28% there, he sent his congratulations as well. According to Xi's state-controlled media, he told Putin the vote, quote, fully reflects the support of the Russian people. The support of the people, again, voting under the watch of men with guns. Trump, of course, has yet to condemn this. He has been silent today on Putin. So what is the reality of the Putin-Trump relationship, now crucial and front and center in the U.S. election? Matthew Chance is out front in Moscow.
Дорогие друзья.
As he basks in the glory of a fifth term, President Putin is lashing out at U.S. criticism that his carefully choreographed re-election was neither free nor fair, instead taking a swing at the U.S. political system, suggesting court cases involving Donald Trump were politically motivated.
Разве можно считать демократичным?
Can it be considered democratic to use administrative resources to attack one of the candidates for president of the United States? The use of the judicial system, this has become simply ridiculous and a disgrace in front of the whole world.
Officially, the Kremlin says it has no preference who's the next US president. But amid a costly war in Ukraine, Donald Trump's claims he would end the fighting quickly if elected may play into the Kremlin's hands, pressuring Ukraine into a peace deal favoring Moscow. The idea the US and the West should back off military support for Ukraine to prevent escalation is also a theme Putin is pushing after his recent election win.
The conflict between Russia and NATO will be just one step away from a full-scale World War III.
I will prevent, and very easily, World War III, very easily.
That overlapping rhetoric is now fueling concerns among Western officials of a repeat of the damaging Trump-Putin relationship of Trump's first term, in which then-President Trump backed Putin over his own intelligence services on the issue of Russian election interference.
Thank you so much.
More recently, instead of criticizing Putin for the recent death in an Arctic penal colony of Alexei Navalny, Russia's most prominent opposition leader, Trump compared it to his own legal battles. The sudden death of Alexei Navalny has made me more and more aware of what is happening in our country, Trump posted on his Truth Social platform. And this was Putin, after his election win on Sunday night, mentioning Navalny by name for the first time.
As for Mr. Navalny, yes, he passed away. It is always a sad event. And there were other cases when people in prisons passed away. Didn't this happen in the United States?
In a country shocked by the death, and after an election condemned by independent monitors as unfair, it's one comparison with the United States the Kremlin is happy to make.
Amazing seeing that rally, Matthew. So how focused is Putin on the U.S. election right now?
Well, Aaron, he says not very focused. He's made the point repeatedly that Russia doesn't care who becomes the next American president. But what he said he will do is focus on rebuilding the Russian military and impressing ahead with the special military operation, what he calls his war in Ukraine. So whoever the next US president is likely to have a big impact on those Russian ambitions, Aaron.
All right, Matthew Chance from Moscow. Thank you. And out front now, Vladimir Milov, the former Russian deputy energy minister under Putin and an advisor to Alexei Navalny. And Vladimir, I so much appreciate your time. When we hear what Vladimir Putin had to say, what is his opinion of Donald Trump?
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me. Putin likes Trump. They have a lot of common in style, and I actually have to convey a message to the American people because I remember very well how Russian democracy was dismantled when I was in government more than 20 years ago. They really have a lot in common in terms of authoritarian style and disregard for institutions, rules, checks and balances. It's only the message is like, it's me. And I'm the only fixer of problems. You got to give it all to me, all the power, the authority, and dismantle everything else. That was really happening in Russia 20 years ago, so Americans should be aware. I think he senses a lot of common things in terms of personality with Trump. He really likes him. He expressed that many times.
And what does that mean for the role that Putin will play or try to play in this U.S. election from here on?
Well, I think Russians will be very cautious about directly interfering in the election like they did in 2016 because they got caught and they don't like it. There was a a pretty significant aftermath. But generally, I think it will be more like a psychological PR message to the undecided American voters, pretty similar to what Putin conveyed through his interview with Tucker Carlson. He was actually saying, listen, it's complicated historical stuff that we have with Ukraine. It's no business of yours. I mean, just let it go. But also, if you elect Donald Trump, we'll have so much better relations and this Russia problem will disappear and will go on the background. So make your choice. I think there will be Russia will focus and Putin will focus on messaging to undecided American voters with one simple line. If Trump is elected, all the Russia challenges would disappear. This is obviously false, but this is what Putin wants Americans to hear.
Putin did something for the first time during his victory speech, Vladimir. He said the name of Alexei Navalny, who died suddenly in a Russian penal colony last month. He said his name, and you believe this was an admission of his murder. How come?
No, absolutely. And he specifically did so, because if you look at the more general context of his victory speech, he was obviously telling the Russians that, folks, it's over. Resistance is hopeless. I not only won, but I will kill you. I will trample you underfoot. And this is a stark contrast, because exactly this is the why he first time mentioned the name of Alexei Navalny in public, because he was attaching the message like, this is over. I killed him. And I will go after anyone who resists. Resistance is useless, which is the opposition obviously encourages Russians not to listen to that crap, because this is specifically targeted psychological intimidation. But he was that was his aim. He was trying to lower the morale of the people who resist Putinism and to say to them, listen, I killed Navalny, I will kill you, fight is hopeless, and this is over.
Putin also claimed in the speech, Vladimir, that he'd agreed to a prisoner swap that would have freed Navalny for some Western prisoners. Of course, Navalny died, and that didn't happen. The White House is casting doubt that such a deal was under discussion. What do you think happened?
I personally have very strong doubts. As a matter of fact, I do not believe that Putin ever agreed and would have agreed to exchanging Navalny. I think it was all some sort of a tricky game. And I think Putin's speech yesterday and his actions and the all circumstances of the murder of Navalny, this essentially proves that Putin was trying to trick everybody and he never intended to let Navalny go. Which means all this story, once again, proves that you cannot believe a single word Putin says. He breaks his promises at will. And this whole situation is a pretty grim proof of that.
Vladimir, thank you so much. Really appreciate your taking the time.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
And I want to go now to the former CIA chief of Russia operations, Steve Hall. So, Steve, you hear Vladimir there, and I know over the years, of course, you may have known him, obviously, when he was in the Russian government. Putin now claims that he won 87.28 or 0.38% of the vote. What does that mean to you, Steve?
The thing that continues to fascinate me, Aaron, is how quickly we sort of, even though we know better, how quickly we allow ourselves to slip into this sort of democratic lingo, democracy lingo that Putin wants us to use. I mean, the whole idea that we're talking about percentages on really something that is nothing more than a Potemkin performance on the Kremlin's part is exactly kind of what Putin is hoping for. He hopes that in the West, people say, well, you know, they did have an election and, you know, maybe we have some problems with our elections too. So, you know, and it begins to give it credence to some sort of believability, which of course it isn't. So I agree 100% with Mr. Milov that these elections were not even that and really play no significant role for Putin or Russia at this point.
I remember the anecdote about Bashar al-Assad's father when he got 97% and his response was, give me the names of the three. All right. So is there any challenge to Putin, Steve, now, or is he truly and essentially a king in the concept of without worry of a coup or being taken out?
I think he's in a really good position right now. Right? I mean, look what's happened. OK, so the early days of the war, I was assessing that it was there was a likelihood that his internal circle might turn against him because things were going so badly in Ukraine those first couple of months and the alienation of Russia worldwide. Well, he survived that. The Siloviki, the inside advisors didn't attempt a coup, or he survived it. Then you had the whole Prigozhin thing, which was, you know, a mutiny at the least.
Hey, marching on Moscow, yes.
He got halfway there, right? And he survived that. And now Prigozhin's dead. Navalny, the biggest political threat, also dead. I agree absolutely with your guess that this was absolutely a message to the Russian people. And that's why he used Navalny's name after he had killed him. It's to say, look, you guys want to end up like Prigozhin, like Navalny, like any of the other guys, Litvinenko, you know, the list goes on and on, poisoned, killed, then be an oppositionist. And that's what will get you there. He has very little to fear internally. Externally, there are some concerns, but internally, he's in a pretty good place.
And reminding people of the trail of dead bodies of the any would-be challenger. All right. Thank you so much, Steve. And next, the $500 million tonight, Trump's lawyers saying he does not have the cash to pay in his Trump org fraud case. So are his properties about to get seized? You have literally just a few days here, major developments occurring. And a failed state, machete-wielding militias in Haiti, battling gangs for control of the most vulnerable country in the Western Hemisphere tonight. And our David Culver is there. He is on the ground, and he will be live in Port-au-Prince. Plus, Stormy Daniels speaking out even as Trump tries to get the hush money case thrown out and keep her from testifying. A judge tonight saying Trump is denied.
This podcast is supported by Sleep Number. Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores? Sleep Number does that. Only Sleep Number smart beds let you each choose your ideal comfort and support. Your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. Temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN's chief medical correspondent. This week on Chasing Life...
I'm sorry that the Great Barrier Reef is no longer great, that we value Amazon much more than the Amazon, and that the waterfront neighborhood where you were growing up could be condemned by rising seas before you're old enough to apply for a mortgage.
That's my friend Bill Weir, CNN's chief climate correspondent. He's optimistic about the planet, and he's optimistic about our ability to take care of it. Listen to Chasing Life wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, Donald Trump could be on the verge of being forced to sell his most prized properties or have them seized by the state of New York within days. Trump's lawyers are admitting tonight that he does not have the $464 million bond, which is due by next Monday. He is appealing the judgment in the Trump org fraud case. And they also say that about 30 different insurance companies, 30, said they would not help Trump back the bond unless he had the cash. So now Trump is pleading with the court to get out of posting the bond until his appeal is over, claiming that being forced to sell his properties now would cause irreversible harm. Out front now, Eric Larson, legal reporter for Bloomberg News, who has covered Trump and his properties for years. Ryan Goodman, out front legal expert, and Stephanie Grisham, who was the White House press secretary for then President Trump. So, Ryan, OK, they're saying he doesn't have the money. 30 insurance companies denied this. So. And now he's trying to go to the court and get some kind of a delay while the appeal plays itself out. Is there any precedent for that? Is there any chance that that Hail Mary of delaying the whole thing via the court works?
So I think if it did work, it would be unprecedented. So the court would have to abide by an exceptional circumstance that is not according to the way the system is supposed to work.
So the way the system works, the way you'd be treated like everybody else would be, no, sorry, pay by Monday.
That's right. And that if he's claiming irreparable harm from having to put up the bond, then a lot of people suffer irreparable harm in that situation. So that's why he'd be asking for something extraordinary. And that's the only way he gets out of it. So if we were to just try to predict what happens, he's not getting out of it.
All right. So, Eric, then the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, recently had a warning for Trump if he was in a situation like this and did not pay up. Here's what she said.
We are prepared to make sure that the judgment is paid to New Yorkers. And yes, I look at 40 Wall Street each and every day. If he does not have funds to pay off the judgment, then we will seek, judgment enforcement mechanisms in court. And we will ask the judge to seize his assets.
Okay, here we are. We'll ask the judge to seize his assets. I look at 40 Wall Street every day. The day that this all comes due is Monday. 40 Wall Street is one of his most valuable properties in New York, at $270 million estimated. And you can go down all of the others that he owns part of, and you can see all the prices there. $160 million, $175, $500, in part in some of these. So what happens now? I mean, do you just suddenly say, okay, couldn't get the bond, couldn't get the backing, court doesn't go my way, so suddenly I'm selling a $500 million building in 5 days?
Right. Well, this is what the conundrum that he is in. If he does not post this by Monday, he can still appeal, of course. It's just that this verdict will be enforced immediately on Monday, as you just showed there with Tish James saying she's prepared to go to court and do this.
Literally seize the building.
Exactly. Start a new case to go after it. And she could do that in multiple states, too. It doesn't just have to be in New York where he has properties. But the writing is on the wall that if he hasn't started preparing to sell some assets by now, that it could be pretty difficult to get this process done by Monday. And clearly, Letitia James is ready to go to court. She's been preparing for this.
All right. So, Ryan, quickly, get Stephanie in here. What happens then if he loses in court? He can't sell a building by next Monday, which he can't. Then what?
Then Letitia James seizes his property, puts liens on all of his assets, bank accounts. And then, as Eric said, that is not restricted to New York. So she probably at this point understands where he has different assets in Florida, Mar-a-Lago, and elsewhere.
And what does that mean? He can't go in them, or people can't go? What does that mean?
It does mean that he would not be able to. It would be fought out in some part in the courts, but for that period of time, it really becomes unusable. And how does he get any additional business going when these are under foreclosure or being seized by the court?
So, Stephanie, what does this actually mean to him? I mean, in the context of he's now publicly admitting that 30 insurance companies refused backing this bond.
Yeah, the fact that this is now being covered by the media, this is going to be very, very hard on his ego. And not just Donald Trump, but the entire family. This is gonna hurt them. It's gonna hurt their egos. And I'm sure soon, it'll be tonight, maybe tomorrow, we're gonna, hear about the left-wing Democrats going after him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, listening to you guys talk about his properties, though, I think if it were to happen, 40 Wall Street is probably the one that he would hate it. But I think if she tried to seize Mar-a-Lago or Bedminster or Trump Tower, even, I mean, those are his babies. You've got the Sterling Golf Course in Virginia. Any of the properties with golf courses, I think, would absolutely devastate him. So it'll be interesting to see what she goes for.
And how much does she have latitude there, Ryan?
She has a lot of latitude. She might just go after those that she thinks are going to be able to be enforced the quickest. And that's up to her.
It would appear 40 Wall Street is going to be on that list from what she said. But it also depends, as Stephanie said, a golf course or something like that. Irreversible harm, when you go through the properties, anything suddenly having to be able to be being forced in a position to sell a building worth hundreds of millions of dollars in a few days, to even have such a headline around you.
Yeah.
It is irreversible harm in some sense. Ryan points out that would be the case for many people having to pay a bond, right? But nobody cares. They still have to do it. But is he right when he says irreversible harm?
He may be right because, as he said in his filing today, it would be a forced fire sale. It's not a great market for selling some of the types of properties that he has, like office buildings, like 40 Wall Street.
Yep.
So it is possible that he would take a loss. The idea being that if he won the appeal and overturned the verdict, that even if that were to happen, he would lose money from the sale that he would never be able to get back from the state. So it's just a matter of whether this appeals court sort of, has mercy on him and says, that's fine, let's let you post a smaller bond or no bond at all, or treat you like everyone else and make you post the full amount. But it is, as you said, an unprecedented situation. It's a very large bond. Most surety companies don't do bonds this large. So the courts could look at it that way as well.
Stephanie, I want to ask you about one other thing, since we're talking Trump and obviously the impact this will have on his campaign. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We're learning more about his search for a running mate. A source familiar with conversations telling me that the best-selling author and life coach Tony Robbins was among the first people Kennedy approached late last year about being his running mate. Robbins made it clear he did not believe this was the right time and that, in fact, he has political differences that became clear during conversations with Kennedy. But we have confirmed that not only it was Robbins on a short list, but Nicole Shanahan, ex-wife of Google co-founder Sergey Brin, is on a short list. Aaron Rodgers, Mike Rowe, Jesse Ventura, former Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang. I mean, these are all names and some of them very celebrity-like people. Does Trump pay attention to that, do you think, looking at RFK Jr. and saying, okay, now he's going for that celebrity star power that Trump thinks he owns?
Absolutely. He's paying attention to anyone who is possibly going to challenge him in any regard. You know, but I've got to say, and maybe this is an unpopular opinion, I think that no matter what, that takes votes away from Biden. I think that, you know, Trump's base and the Republican Party are so behind him at this point that I honestly think anybody that Robert Kennedy Jr. would choose would take votes away from Biden. We've got people that are going to be in the center, and I just don't think they're going to go for Trump. I don't.
All right. Thank you all very much. I appreciate it. And next, Haiti on the verge of collapse. Violent gangs right now choking off food and water, trapping more than 11 million people. We're live in Port-au-Prince on the ground. Our David Culver is there. And Donald Trump wants to get his hush money criminal case thrown out because of this.
It was really about two things. Trying to keep the story from coming out so that it would not hurt my husband and my daughter, and I wouldn't lose my life.
Well, the director of the new Stormy Daniels documentary will share more of those clips with us next. Tonight, Haiti on the verge of collapse. Another shooting rampage today, killing at least 10 people. Video into CNN showing the aftermath of bodies covered in white sheets lying in the streets. Country, of course, just hundreds of miles from the coast of Florida and is now in utter turmoil. Machete-wielding militias battling gangs for control of the capital. The government gone. Food, water, fuel cut off. More than 11 million people trapped in this hell. The border is closed. Airports closed. One flight carrying dozens of Americans was allowed to leave. About 1,000 are still there. Our David Culver is out front. He is there in Port-au-Prince, where the situation is so incredibly volatile and terrifying. And David, please just share whatever you can about what you're seeing.
Hey there, Aaron. Well, today is a perfect example of just how lawless this situation is here in Haiti's capital city. There were confrontations going on from the early morning hours between police and gangs. And even as you and I are talking now, you may hear some of the pops of gunfire that we have been hearing over the past few minutes. More confrontations between the police and those gangs, but not just the police, Aaron. The community members play a huge role in this. Folks who live here essentially have to fend for themselves. And we saw that this morning. There's some of the images that you were talking about with the aftermath of the confrontation that happened starting around 5 o'clock in the morning, a surprise attack on two affluent neighborhoods. And the folks there experienced some of these gang members going door to door, breaking in, opening fire within one house, according to one source, and ending up with several people dead. Now, it's not clear if those individuals were suspected gang members, if they are community folks. Nonetheless, it just shows how dramatic these situations are. And it's terrifying for these people, Aaron, because they're in their homes, and you would think perhaps you'd call for emergency officials to come in. Police don't have those resources. We went to one of the police stations. They're overworked. They're strained. They have little to no ammo. They say the gangs have more money and resources than they do. And they even showed us their squad cars that are running out of gas. Some of them just sit empty. So imagine having to respond to a higher elevation 3 miles up. It's not going to happen. So the community members themselves have to build these barricades. They have to set up a situation that they feel is a fortified area that then they can essentially try to fend off until help comes in.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. The people that are then forced to leave their homes, if they deem that safer than hiding there and maybe getting killed hiding, they then have nowhere to leave the country. You're talking about just completely shut down. I mean, how incredibly difficult it was for you to even get there. So where are these people ending up?
this is a huge issue, because you have a lot of people who are moving up elevation, if you will, because in some of the lower parts, that's where the gangs have gone through, and you have multiple gangs who are going through and forcing people out of their homes. Oftentimes, they will then just torch the homes and loot and take whatever they need, and then those people have to go from place to place, because they will end up in one camp, that'll be torched, they then have to go to another. We went to one location, which is a school, and you have to imagine kind of this indoor-outdoor school. We have some of the images, and the folks there have been cramming into classrooms. There's only about a dozen, and they have an estimated 1,500-plus people who have made that their makeshift home. And we spoke to one woman who we met in one of the classrooms turned home. Where is all your stuff? Over here. Mm-hmm. And this is what you've had to take with you from place to place.
C'est ça qu'on est obligé de boiter pour qu'on puisse aller avec.
So
they have already burned her house. This is stuff that people handed out to her.
How difficult has it been to get basics like water and food?
She said, they had been supported for 2 weeks, but it's been 2 weeks that they haven't received anything.
How much longer can this go on?
Combien de temps on pense que ça va tomber comme ça? We don't know. Only God knows.
So we were in touch today, Aaron, with one director of a local nonprofit who's going to try to get food and water to that location, and who then reached out to say, we're also going to empty the septic tanks because they're overflowing. The issue is, he found out that the septic tank companies have a backlog. Their trucks are sitting full. They can't get to the dumping site because gangs have blocked off those roadways. What does that mean? It puts those folks at greater risk for cholera, which is surging right now. So the gangs are essentially starving people. They're also attacking and killing them. And now you can see they're doing things like essentially creating environments for illnesses to fester, and ultimately they're losing their lives to diseases.
Outbreak. David Culver, thank you very much. The fortitude and courage it took for David to be there and to share all this with the world. We thank you. And next, we have more breaking news just coming in. A judge has just rejected Trump's request to keep Stormy Daniels from testifying against him in the hush money trial. This is she is now revealing her conversations with Trump amid their alleged affair. And that is all just coming out in a new documentary out today. The director is my guest to share these never before seen clips with you. And Princess Kate's reported appearance at a farm, leading to more questions. So what's really going on in the royal family?
The Assignment with me, Audie Cornish. There's been a ton of writing about the album Cowboy Carter since it dropped this spring. But what grabbed my attention is a new documentary on CNN called Call Me Country, Beyoncé and Nashville's Renaissance. Lots of artists have tried to boot scoot their way onto country music charts. Why did this album cause such a stir? And what about both this pop star and this political moment has caused all this conversation? Listen to The Assignment with me, Audie Cornish, on your favorite podcast app.
Breaking news, a big loss for Trump in the New York hush money criminal case. The judge ruling against Trump's efforts to block testimony from Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels in what is expected to be his first criminal case to go to trial. Now, that trial was scheduled to start a week from today. The judge has delayed it until at least April 15th at this time, though. But this decision comes on the same day as the release of a new documentary about Stormy Daniels. In the film, Stormy says she accepted the $130,000 payment in 2016 to keep quiet about her alleged affair with Trump because she was scared for her life.
My friend was like, you might actually have a problem. I don't want to scare you, but based on the things you've told me, now you're the whole Republican Party's problem. And they like to make their problems go away. It was really about two things: trying to keep the story from coming out so that it would not hurt my husband and my daughter and I wouldn't lose my life, and that there would be a paper trail and money trail linking me to Donald Trump so that he could not have me killed. All I had to do was sign this piece of paper and collect $130,000.
Now, Of course, Sarah Trump, has denied having an affair with Stormy Daniels and claims he didn't know about the $130,000 payment made by Michael Cohen. And Sarah Gibson is out front now, the director of Stormy. This is her first television interview since the film's release. And Sarah, I just think everybody should be clear. You've been working on this for a long time. Your documentary tonight officially out for everyone to watch on Peacock. And it happens to come as we have this breaking news when a judge in New York says Stormy Daniels is able to testify in the criminal trial for Trump. And as I said, you've worked with her for 5 years on this documentary. Do you think she is eager to take the stand? Is she ready to take the stand in this case against Trump?
I would say absolutely. She has a real fighting spirit, and she's looking forward to being able to tell her story on in the court and in front of the world, what happened during 2016.
So it's clear from watching these parts of your documentary, Sarah, that the fear and paranoia that has followed Stormy Daniels since her story first came out in 2018, that's just so present. You know, in the film, you see her confront someone following her. Someone's following her and her daughter, who is terrified in their car. And then you also show us Stormy's horse, shot by somebody with rubber bullets, abusing an animal after the address was leaked online. I mean, these are unbelievable things. And I want to play another clip from the film where she describes how all of this intensified after Trump's indictment. And I do want to warn our viewers in this clip, Sarah, some of what Stormy says is graphic.
Back in 2018, there was stuff like liar, slut, gold digger. This time around, it is very different. It is direct threats. It is, I'm going to come to your house and slit your throat. Your daughter should be euthanized. They're not even using bot accounts. They're using their real accounts.
I'm desensitized to some of it, but they've also become more violent with me. I'm more prepared with my legal knowledge, but I'm also tired. Like, my soul is so tired. So, I mean, and I don't know if I'm so much a warrior now as out of man. I'm out of.
How much of the threats against her increased? And also in there, we saw her, Sarah, in a way I've never seen her before. You see her as a human being.
Yeah, and that gets missed a lot. She's been reduced to just a headline for mm-hmm. so long. Porn star Stormy Daniels, a one-dimensional person. No one thinks that she might have a family, that she might have a daughter, that she has a career, that she is needing to salvage and make a living for her family. So I would say that the death threats have increased tenfold. Since the indictment, and even more so since 2018 when the news first broke. And I would say that a lot of the trolls online feel very empowered to say whatever they want to her and to threaten her in whatever way they choose.
Tenfold. That is something just gives me pause. I mean, she gives her most extensive description to you in this film of her meeting with Trump in 2006. That meeting is the meeting that would ultimately turn her entire world upside down. And she tells you, Sarah, that she went to a hotel to have dinner with him, and then he calls her up to his room, and she tells you they spoke about her career as a director, and he dangled out potentially having her on Celebrity Apprentice. And then this is what she says happened.
He told me I reminded him of his daughter. I felt like he was being sympathetic to me. Ivanka is beautiful and she's blonde, and I'm sure she's had people assume that she's an idiot. But I felt like, as this father figure who has watched his daughter be treated a certain way, could identify with me. I thought we had this mutual respect. Which is why I was so crazy when, having no red flags whatsoever in a conversation, I came out of a bathroom to find myself cornered. I don't remember how I got on the bed. It was awful. But I didn't say no.
She's brutally honest there. And obviously, former president has brutally attacked her, insulted her appearance, many other insulting things. What motivates her to keep speaking out?
I think Stormy is a person who fought her way out of poverty in the South growing up and worked so hard to find a life for herself, a family. And she will do anything for her family and to make sure that all the work, all the hard work that she did over all those years was not for nothing. And she is a person who will not hesitate to speak up and say the truth, even when it's really uncomfortable and really detrimental to her. And she's a very exceptionally unique person in that she really thinks about the greater good and really just wants to make sure that the truth gets out there in this trial.
All right, well, Sarah, I'm really looking forward to seeing this, and thank you so much. Really appreciate your taking the time and coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right,
appreciate it.
And next, a very rare, at this time, really rare, sighting of Princess Kate. It comes as new questions swirl about why she is not wearing her wedding ring.
When you work next level. And when you play next level. And when it's time to sleep, Sleep Number smart beds are designed to embrace your uniqueness, providing you with high-quality sleep every night. Sleep next level. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, the Queen Sleep Number C4 smart bed is only $1,599. Save $300 for a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.